Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cyber Risk Brief, Latest Threats and Cybersecurity, brought to you by MMRMA. On November 10th, 2025, something unprecedented happened. Emergency managers across the country logged into their Code Red systems to do what they do every day: send weather alerts, test their systems, check subscriber lists, and instead, they found nothing. Not slow, not glitchy, just gone. Within hours, municipalities from Montana to Massachusetts were posting notices on Facebook. Yes, Facebook, telling residents that there was an emergency, they should, what, check social media, watch local news. The very systems designed to reach people in seconds during tornadoes, chemical spills, and active threats had vanished overnight. The INC Ransom Group had just pulled off one of the most brazen attacks on public safety infrastructure in American history. They didn't target one city, they targeted the vendor that hundreds of cities trusted. One attack, hundreds of victims, millions of cities, billions of citizens suddenly unreachable in an emergency. I'm Aaron Meadows, a senior systems engineer with Raymond Technology Solutions, and today we're going to talk about what happened when criminals stopped attacking individual municipalities and started attacking the very companies you depend on to keep your community safe. But more importantly, we need to talk about what this means for your community and what you need to do about it now. Here's what most people don't understand about emergency notification systems. They're supposed to be the one thing that always works. When the power goes out, when the cell towers are overwhelmed, when people are panicking, Code Red was designed to cut through all of that and deliver critical information directly to phones. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter of Cascade County, Montana, had used Code Red for over a decade without a single major issue. On November 13th, after a week of total outage, he did something almost unheard of in government contracting. He invoked Montana state law to immediately terminate a 3-year contract. His reason? The company could no longer provide the service it promised. He couldn't wait for fixes or promises. Lives were potentially at stake. Douglas County, Colorado made the same call. After 10 years of reliable service, they walked away entirely and started searching for a replacement. Not next month, not next quarter, immediately. Why? Because during those 2 weeks when Code Red was dark, nature didn't stop. Weather emergencies didn't pause. The threats that require split-second emergency notifications to save lives, they don't wait for your vendor to recover from a ransomware attack. So let's step back and look at what we're really dealing with here in 2026. Last year wasn't just bad for ransomware, it was historic. Attacks increased 58% over 2024. In the first 3 months alone, there was a 126% surge compared to the year before. One ransomware group, Qilin, claimed over 700 victims in 2025. To put that in perspective, the most prolific group from 2024 managed 547 attacks in the entire year. Qilin beat that by April. And here's the number that should get every Michigan municipal leader's attention. Michigan had the highest rate of ransomware attacks per capita of any state in the nation. Not California with its tech companies, not New York with its financial institutions, Michigan, your neighbors, your peer communities. 44 states reported cyber attacks on government systems in 2025. When costs are calculated, we're not just talking about ransom payments here, we're talking recovery, downtime, consultant fees, system rebuilds. The average runs between $1.8 and $5 million. The average downtime, nearly a month. A month without water billing, a month without permit processing, a month without payroll, a month of explaining to angry residents that their government can't function. The Code Red attack represents something security experts have been warning about for years, but most organizations haven't truly prepared for: third-party risk. Think about your community's operations for a moment. How many critical services depend on outside vendors? Your emergency notifications, your financial software, your email, your backup systems, your cloud storage. Each one of those vendors has its own cybersecurity practices or lack thereof. Each one is a potential doorway into your operations. INC Ransom understood something crucial. Why break into 500 municipal networks individually when you can break into one vendor and compromise them all at once? It's efficient, it's profitable, and from a criminal's perspective, it's genius. They got into Code Red system on November 1st. They didn't immediately deploy ransomware. Instead, they spent 10 days exploring, mapping the network, understanding exactly how the system worked and where to cause maximum damage. Then on November 10th, they struck. Servers encrypted, emergency alert capabilities gone. The ransom demand started at $950,000 and dropped to $450,000. Crisis 24, Code Red's parent company, countered at $100,000, then $150,000. INC Ransom rejected both offers. They weren't negotiating to be reasonable. They were negotiating to extract maximum value. When Crisis 24 wouldn't meet their price, they published stolen data and offered it for sale to other criminals. Names, addresses, phone numbers, passwords, information from millions of people who had voluntarily signed up to receive emergency alerts, now in the hands of cyber criminals. So here's something that keeps security professionals up at night. You no longer need to be a technical expert to launch a devastating cyber attack. Groups like INC Ransom, Chewin, and Medusa operate what's called ransomware as a service. They develop sophisticated malware and attack tools, then rent them out to affiliates, basically anyone willing to pay. The ransomware developers provide the technology, the infrastructure, even customer support. The affiliates find targets and deploy the attacks. When ransoms are paid, they split the proceeds. It's a business model, complete with service level agreements, profit sharing, technical support tickets. We're not fighting lone attackers anymore. We're dealing with criminal enterprises that operate with the efficiency of Fortune 500 companies. So you might be thinking, well, we don't use Code Red. We're fine. So let me be clear here. That's exactly the wrong reason to take from this. You might be thinking, we don't use Code Red, so we're fine. Let me be very clear. That's exactly the wrong lesson to take from this. The lesson isn't about Code Red specifically. It's about the fundamental shift in how these attacks happen. Criminals are targeting your vendors, your cloud providers, your software companies. They're looking for the multiplier effect. One attack, many victims. Do you know the cybersecurity practices of every vendor you work with? Do you have requirements in your contracts about their security standards? Do you have contingency plans for when, not if, but when one of your critical vendors gets compromised? Most municipalities don't, and that's the vulnerability criminals are exploiting. Beyond vendor risk, there's another uncomfortable truth. Many Michigan communities are operating with limited IT staff, aging infrastructure, and cybersecurity budgets that haven't kept pace with the escalating threat. You're facing criminal organizations that work 24/7, have essentially unlimited time to probe for weaknesses, and are motivated by profits that dwarf what most communities can invest in defense. The good news, you don't have to match criminals dollar for dollar. You need to be prepared enough that attacking a community isn't worth their time. Make yourself a harder target, and they'll move on to easier prey. This is where MMRMA's grant programs become critical. They're offering over $175,000 in potential funding at 50% cost share to help Michigan municipalities build the defenses that actually matter. First, get strategic oversight. When Code Red went down, municipalities with solid incident response plans shifted to backup notification methods quickly. Those without plans scrambled, posting on Facebook and hoping people would see it. Having someone who thinks like an attacker, assessing your vendors, identifying your critical systems, building actual response plans makes a difference between managing an incident and being overwhelmed by one. Second, train your people. Here's a reality check. 91% of cyber attacks start with phishing emails. INC Ransom likely got into Code Red systems through compromised credentials, someone's username and password. Your staff should be your sensors, trained to recognize and report suspicious activity before it becomes a breach. Third, protect your data. 98% of ransomware attacks attempt to compromise backup systems. If criminals encrypt your production systems and your backups, you have exactly one option left: pay the ransom and hope you get the decryption key. Proper backups that meet NIST standards turn paying ransom from a desperate necessity into a choice. MMRMA has grants covering everything from virtual security leadership and staff training to 24/7 monitoring, multi-factor authentication, vulnerability testing, and secure backup infrastructure. These aren't abstract improvements. They're direct responses to how municipalities are being compromised right now. The application process starts with a conversation. Reach out to MMRMA, tell them where you are and what keeps you up at night. To help you figure out which programs make sense for your situation and how to prioritize your investments. Coming back to Code Red, Crisis 24 wasn't some fly-by-night operation. They were a professional company serving critical public safety needs. They had security measures, they had IT staff, they had resources that dwarf what most municipalities have internally. And they still got compromised so severely, they had to permanently shut down the entire platform and build a new one from scratch. This is the new reality. No vendor is completely safe. No system is impenetrable. The question isn't whether your vendors might get breached. It's what you do when they are. Do you have contract language that requires vendors to maintain specific security standards and notify you immediately of incidents? Do you have service level agreements with teeth, concrete consequences when vendors can't deliver critical services? Do you have backup plans for when your primary vendor is unavailable? Most critically, do you have data retention and recovery requirements in your contracts? Crisis 24 could only restore Code Red data back to March 31st, 2025. Any user who registered or updated their information after that date was lost. Months of data gone. If you're depending on a vendor for critical data and they can only restore to last quarter, what does that mean for your operations? So you have two scenarios. Your community takes a we'll deal with it when it happens approach. You're busy, budgets are tight, cybersecurity feels abstract compared to fixing roads, processing permits, and then one morning your systems are encrypted, your vendor's been compromised, or your staff member clicked the wrong link. Suddenly you're in crisis mode, calling emergency meetings, bringing in expensive consultants at premium rates, explaining to residents why services are down and when they might be restored. Weeks go by, costs mount, public trust erodes. Or scenario two, you invest now, you bring in a VC ISO who builds you an actual security program, you train your staff, you implement proper backups and multi-factor authentication, you test your defenses, and one day the security operations center catches suspicious activity. They shut it down before it becomes an incident. You never make the headlines, your residents never lose service, then that near miss becomes a success story because you were prepared. The first scenario costs millions and takes months to recover from. The second scenario costs a fraction of that and prevents the incident entirely. Most municipal budgets have competing priorities. There's always something more immediately visible to spend money on than cybersecurity until there's an incident. Then suddenly cybersecurity becomes the only priority that matters. Here's the thing about cybersecurity. The best time to invest was 5 years ago. The second best time is right now, before you become the case study in a podcast. The criminals who attacked Code Red are still out there. So are dozens of other groups just like them. They're patient, they're professional, they're profitable, and they're absolutely looking at Michigan municipalities as targets. The question is, when they look at your community, will they see an easy target or a hard one? Will they see systems worth attacking or defenses that make them move to an easier prey? That's you, that choice is yours to make. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cyber Risk Brief, Latest Threats in Cybersecurity. You can find additional resources, model policies, risk control bulletins, and grant information at nmrma.org/members. If you have questions about any of the grants we've discussed today, reach out through the Contact Us form in the member portal. Stay safe out there, and remember, cybersecurity isn't about being invulnerable, it's about being prepared.